Thank you very much. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs. Pick three verses for a text this morning, and starting with Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now look at Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now look in Job chapter 28. 28:28. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our country and the freedom we have. We thank you for the Bible that we have in our hands. We thank you for the opportunity to meet with Christians and to preach it, to hear the gospel preached. I ask you, Father, that you would touch every heart and life that listens to the word this morning. I pray, Lord, if any here are not saved, that they would be convicted, drawn to you and saved. Any that are backslidden would be drawn back close to you. That you'd have your way in every life that's here. I pray that your Holy Spirit will touch and move. I ask you to give me a freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Aren't those some interesting verses? You talk about running contrary to modern teaching today. That runs contrary to modern teaching today. The fear of the Lord. All three of them talked about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is knowledge. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. You want some understanding? You need to fear God. Amen. The reason why some of you are living the way you're living right now in this room is because you don't fear God. You know why you don't fear God? You don't know Him. To know God is to fear God. If you think God has just walked off somewhere and left you alone to do as you please, any way you want to, any time you want to, and He's just going to let you get away with everything the world is doing, you don't know God. Because you see, my Bible tells me God is righteous. That means He's right all the time. That means He likes right. He doesn't like wrong. He likes right. I'll tell you something else. God is not swayed by your beauty. Some of you ladies have had a cop pull you over and he let you go because you were pretty. He flashed him a smile. He didn't give you a ticket. Or you cried and he didn't give you a ticket. And you got away with it. Well, see, if you look like me, they don't ever let you get away with it. I need to drive close to the speed limit. It's necessary. God is righteous, God is holy, and God hates sin. Do you know why God hates sin? Because it hurts you. It hurts you. God didn't write the Ten Commandments out for His benefit. He doesn't need them. God wrote the Ten Commandments out for your benefit. Do you realize how big God is? The Bible says He spoke the worlds into existence. He spoke them into existence. He stretched out the heavens with the span of His hand. Do you think God is worried about your macho attitude of yourself? Some of you walk around, you got holes punched all in your face. Some of you walk around with a little silver knob on your tongue. You got tattoos all over you. What are you trying to do? Who are you trying to impress? Do you think God is impressed? I don't think God's impressed. I don't believe God is afraid of you for one minute. Some of you young bucks, you just think, stick your chest out and roll your cigarettes up on your arm and put your tattoo down and walk down and say, they're all afraid of me. They're all afraid of me. You think God's afraid of you? God is disappointed in you. Very interesting thought here. The fear of the Lord is knowledge. The fear of the Lord is wisdom. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. If you just knew what God thought about the way you act and the way you walk and the way you think, you'd be afraid. See these pickups on the back of the window says, no fear. What an idiot. You don't fear a train coming down 60 miles an hour? Well, go ahead, park up there, let your pickup take that train on. You're so smart, you're so tough. God Almighty loves you enough to give you the Word, and you don't pay attention to it, you won't even read it. Another thing about God is, what He starts works. Look with me, if you will, over at the book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 7. The book of Galatians, chapter 6 and verse 7. I want you to notice something else about the character of God. Galatians 6, 7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Now let me ask you something. Does that work in nature? I got a farmer sitting here. When you plant hay, do you get watermelons?
No way.
No. No, you don't. When you plant watermelons, you don't get corn. When you plant corn, you don't get watermelons. Whatsoever a man sows, that he will reap. That works in every life. Do you really think you can break gravity? Do you think this God that spoke this world into existence, by the way, he is a super brain. You don't even come close to him. The very smartest people of this world sit up and say, there is no God. Their puny little mentality, pea brain attitude, and God Almighty made this wonderful machine. You may not think it's wonderful, but that pump's still pumping after 68 years. Yeah, I'm seeing you. I'm walking around. Man, I got all these fingers are still moving. I'm still enjoying life. How about that? Man, I tell you, I'm thankful for my car because it runs most of the time pretty good. I tell you what, all this heart has to do is stop one time, Trinidad. And the whole thing is over. God made it where it would work. God made this world, and I'm amazed every time I look at this world. And I think about the rules that He's put into action. You know them. You know them. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And you can put that into your garden, and you can bank on it. You can put it out on your farm, and you can bank on it. You can put it in your business, and you can bank on it. And you can put it in your life spiritually, and you can bank on it. You sow to your flesh. You know what you're going to reap? Corruption. You think you got troubles? You got troubles. You got real troubles if you're sowing to your flesh. You decide, God doesn't know. I am so much smarter than God. I know how to run my life. How many teenagers have I heard say that? Isn't it amazing how a kid 17 years old can be so smart? So absolutely smart that 10 parents with a reason can't talk with them. That's terrible. And you're going to tell God how to run your life? You really are that smart that you don't have to pay attention to what God says. You can live your way. I mean, modern times tell us why we don't have to live by Bible terms. They tell us homosexuality is just another lifestyle. God calls it sin. Perversion. A perversion of reality. God calls it sin. Our generation talks about living together, just living together. We don't have to get married. We don't get married. That's slave children. Have you heard that? All five of my children were slave children because my wife was married to me. They weren't love children. They were slave children. How stupid are you? Look around at what's happening in the world today. Look around at the morality. Look around at our kids. Look around at what it produces. And then tell me God's wrong and you're right. You sow certain things, I'll guarantee you're going to reap them. And I'm not just talking to young people, but young people are just extravagant in it. All the rest of you out there, the minute you decide you're smarter than God and you don't have to pay attention to what God says, you're in for trouble. And you know why? Because of the character of God. He does not change. And God hates sin. And when you're walking in sin, He knows you're hurting yourself, you're hurting your partners, you're hurting your family, you're hurting your children. We see it every day on the TV. We feel it every day in our families. You know what you'd be smart if you feared God? You know the reason why you don't fear God? You don't know Him. Why don't you read His book a little while and find out what He's like? You read this book and you find out this great God that spoke this world into existence, that designed every one of you. And isn't it an amazing thing? All of you have two eyes, you two holes in your head for eyes and two for your nose and one for your mouth and two ears, and you don't, none of you look alike. You don't have the same fingerprint. You don't have the same footprint. You don't have the same voice print. You don't have the same brain wave. Now, tell me that's a dummy that created that, or that's an accident that happened? Not on your life. Not on your life. That was the great Creator who has a brain so much bigger than yours. It's amazing that we compare them. God set a lot of laws into action, a lot of rules. This great God looked down upon us and in mercy to us gave us His Word. In mercy to mankind, He gave us the Ten Commandments. Now we're trying to throw them out now. We're so smart that we can raise our kids in our schools without the Ten Commandments. Can't have them in schools. Oh, you're not supposed to pray in the schools. You're not supposed to quote the Ten Commandments. You're not supposed to teach the Bible. It's a bad book. How foolish are we going to get? And how long are you going to go along with them? You need to come to a place somewhere where you're going to take a stand and say, there is right and there is wrong, and I'm taking my stand on the side of God.
Amen.
Some conviction that says, I will do right even if it costs me. Because God is right. The fear of the Lord. If you just knew how God despised your sin, you'd be afraid. You wouldn't be walking out of here saying, I'm going to go live it up real big. I mean, we're going to party this week. We're going to drink it up. We're going to dance. Oh boy, we're going to throw a party. Not if you had an inkling of the attitude God has towards it. The fear of the Lord. I got afraid of God. I fear God. Somebody says, perfect love casts out fear. You got perfect love? Your love so perfect you don't have any fear? I don't have that kind of love. I still have a very selfish, stupid, sinful nature, and so do you.
That's right.
And you better fear what might happen to you if you get on the wrong side of God. There's a king in the Bible that we praise all the time. His name's David. At about a 17-year-old boy, he killed a giant. He was anointed by Samuel to be king over God's people. He's known as the greatest of God's kings. My, what a mighty man. He wrote most of the Psalms. We call the book of Psalms the Psalms of David because most of them he wrote. He was a musician. He was a poet. He was a prophet. He was a warrior. And he was a king. And I think he committed the worst murder I've ever read about. David probably had 50 wives when he decided to go after Bathsheba. He could have had any woman in the country he wanted that wasn't somebody else's wife. But he in his lust looked down one day and decided he wanted Bathsheba. And he committed adultery with her. Her husband was fighting up at the front where he ought to have been. But he calls him back, tries to cover his sin. But I believe God just put into the heart of Uriah a stubbornness, a determination that he would not satisfy himself with his wife while his friends could not be home. David got him drunk. You know what the Bible says? Woe be to him that giveth his neighbor drink. David got him drunk, brought him up to the palace. He was his friend. And got him drunk and sent him home. And he still didn't go home. You know how much David trusted this man? He wrote his message to Joab. Sealed it and put it in the hands of Uriah. And said, take this to your commander. Inside that's a note that is so wicked, so selfish, so thoughtless in the relationship to God. Put this man where valiant men die. In a war, lots of men die. What's one as opposed to another? And he has him killed by his nephew in general. Wicked, abuse of power, ignoring God. Wicked. I doubt you've ever done anything any more wicked than that. Then he brings Bathsheba to his house and marries her and figures he's covered his sin until God sends his own prophet to him. And Nathan tells him a story and points his finger in his face and said, thou art the man. Many a prophet got killed doing that. You can read about them in the Bible. When they opposed the king killed them. But you know what David did? David said, I am the man. I have sinned against the Lord. I want to tell you something else about the character of God. He's merciful. Amen. I rejoice in his mercy every day. I pray for his mercy. I remember a very bad year in my life. My oldest boy, Eddie, at 16, he just knocks over the tea at the evening table. And he says, I can't see, and I've got a headache. We didn't know what was happening to him. But Billy and I picked him up, told Verlene to call the doctor, and we took him out to the hospital. By the time we got there, he couldn't talk, he couldn't see, and he couldn't walk. Blind and dumb and crippled, 16 years old. The doctors began to run their tests. And he told us there's not a thing we can do for him. Well, Mom and I began to pray. This is not the way we prayed. We did not pray, Lord, I'm a preacher of the gospel. Lord, I've led a lot of people to the Lord. Lord, I've preached in front of the Catholic churches in Guatemala. Lord, I've stood up to communists and witnessed to them. Lord, I have witnessed to people that had a 38 sticking right in front of my forehead. And I never backed down, so now you owe me. No, 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 no. We got down by our beds and we prayed, God, we have no right. You don't owe us anything. We ask for mercy. Amen. That same year, by the way, it's the year Susanna was born. She cost me some money that year too. Billy is out performing chemistry in the front yard of a neighbor kid. He's making hydrogen gas from lying aluminum. Now, you want to try it? I'm giving you a nice experiment you can try. You can go out and take lying aluminum and make hydrogen gas. You don't have to buy hydrogen gas. You can make it. I'm sitting in my living room, and here my boy, 15 years old, comes running through the living room like lightning. But that wasn't unusual. And he sits in there in the bathroom and just keeps washing and washing and washing and washing. And I finally went in there and said, what's the matter? Well, I got acid in my eyes. Oh, good night. So we pack him up, haul him off to the same hospital. Talk about a year of hospital bills while we had him. We took him out there, and the doctor that worked on him was my age right now. He'd been an eye surgeon doctor for 35 years. He was out at that emergency room two or three times every week. And Billy's eyes, his blue eyes, had white clouds of scars on them, half covered up. He'd been wearing contacts, and that helped him some. And while he's there, I'm talking to that doctor. I'm a young man, about 35, 36. I said, Doctor, how long will it take those scars to go away? He said, I've never seen them go away. He said, I see two or three cases like this a week. I have never seen those scars go away. What you need to pray for, son, is that they don't get any worse. And he bandages him all up, covered him, sent us home. And there beside the bed, I didn't pray on my merits or my preaching or my doctrine. I prayed for mercy.
Hallelujah.
I asked God, I don't deserve to have a son that can see any more than any other believer, any other person in the world. But I know you to be a merciful God. And I ask you for mercy. I don't deserve it, but I ask you for mercy. That was a good while before we took Billy back. But when we took him back, you take a look at his eyes right now. There's not a speck left.
Amen.
That Jewish doctor told me, he said, I have never seen it in my life. That's mercy. That's mercy. I want you to notice how David prayed. Look at Psalm 51. Verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. You want to know your problem? You don't recognize yourself as a sinner. You want to justify yourself in everything you do. Pastor comes up and talks to you about something. Oh, but this, and we got this reason, that reason, and we're all clean, we're all right, we're all pure, we're all holy. I get so tired of trying to convince people they're sinners, and it's oozing out of their pores. Comes out almost every sentence that comes out of their mouth. Have mercy upon me. According to the other one, what has he done? He's murdered his friend for his wife. He's involved his nephew in the murder, in the conspiracy. He's acted like there was no God in heaven. Acted like there was no judgment. But he comes up when he comes to God. He got enough sense to say, oh God, have mercy upon me. I acknowledge my transgression. Quit justifying yourself. Amen. Quit your stupid justifying of yourself. Oh, I'm all right. I don't do anything wrong. I've never done anything wrong. I'm just a little sweet little thing. You're just a wicked, selfish sinner. And the quicker you realize it, the better you'll get along with God. Let me show you another verse. Interesting verse. Psalm 86, verse 5. Psalm 86, verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Where does the mercy go? To those that call. To those that call. Mercy doesn't go to the righteous. Mercy goes to those that call. David got mercy. Oh, by the way, if you think that means he didn't do any paying for his sin, you're wrong. Oh, that little baby died. He's on his face for 7 days praying for that baby, but that baby died. One of his sons rapes one of his daughters. Another of his sons, who was the brother to that daughter, kills that son. And then one of his sons commits adultery with 12 of his wives in the sight of all Jerusalem. And then his general has to kill that son. Sorrow never left the house of David. Oh, he got mercy. God didn't kill him. But sorrow never left the house of David. You don't play with sin. You think you can get away with it? You think you can just walk and live in it? You think you can just flaunt it in front of the world? You can't do it. He says here, he's plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon him. I remember a day. You know, nobody had to convince me I was a sinner. When the preachers came to my house, that wasn't their problem. There wasn't a problem saying, oh boy, we got to convince this man he's a sinner and he's going to hell. I figured I was on the way to hell and I figured I was a sinner. You know what I heard? I heard a message that God will forgive repentant sinners. Sinners that call upon him. Not sinners who justify themselves. Not sinners who brag on their righteousness. Not sinners who think they can do what they want to do and justify it before people and before God. No! Repentant sinners. People who say, what I did was sin. As long as you justify yourself, you'll never get peace with God. Another verse. Psalms 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Wow, what a verse. What a verse. As I sat down by my kids in that 1 year, I had no insurance and no money. And I was overwhelmed with debt. And I had some very, very dangerous things come into my life. But I hoped in His mercy. I didn't have any hope in my righteousness. I didn't have any hope in the doctors. I didn't have any hope in my money or my ability to pay. I couldn't promise to pay back. I couldn't promise to do. I had hope in His mercy. Let me tell you something, friend. If you fear God and believe enough to hope in His mercy, you just might get it. You just might get the mercy of God if you hope in His mercy. Because God knows how big He is and how small you are. God knows how strong He is and how weak you are. God knows your pitiful situation, and He's a merciful God. That hope in His mercy. Proverbs 28:13. Here's a simple rule. A very simple rule, but how important it is to you. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. You think, I've got it all covered up. Nobody knows. We're putting on a good show. I'm putting on a good show. I have it hidden. My parents don't know. My children don't know. My friends don't know. My wife doesn't know. My husband doesn't know. My God doesn't know. You're mistaken. You just made a great big mistake. God knows. You don't ever fool God. You don't fool most people. You know, you think you're fooling them. I've seen people walk around putting on some sort of a show. They think they're fooling people. Most of the time, they're not even fooling people. You're fooling yourself. But you're not fooling God. He said, very simply, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Confession. An honest confession. I've seen some people, I've got a letter or two, they don't confess anything, but they want to be forgiven for everything. Let me tell you something. If you don't confess, there's no reason to forgive. If you're all right, you don't need to be forgiven. If you haven't done anything wrong, what's your problem? It says, confess and forsake. I want you to know God expects you to sin. Because He knows you. He knows you're nothing but dust. He farmed you out of the dust of the ground. You're going back to the dust of the ground. And you're not near as big as your mind has portrayed you to be. You're just not near as pretty as you think you are. You're not near as strong as you think you are. You know, in my life, I found the strongest men find somebody stronger. The toughest men find somebody tougher. The prettiest girls find somebody prettier. Oh, yeah. You can let your pride lift you up and build you up all you want to. Oh, my friend, take a look at God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And by the fear of God, men depart from evil. Amen. You don't have much understanding of life or people or how to have a happy life if you don't fear God first. If you don't understand the character of God, His righteousness, His holiness, you don't even have the basics for life. You're set up to fail. And when you sin, why don't you just confess it? Why don't you say, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. I did it, Lord. I'm the sinner. I'm the adulterer. I'm the fornicator. I'm the liar. I'm the cusser. I'm the luster. I'm the one with an angry attitude. I'm the one with a bad spirit. Why don't you just confess it? Because he says right here, he said those that hope in his mercy would receive it. And here it says, whosoever confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. Isn't that beautiful? Amen. Do you realize that mercy in the character of God is the most beautiful thing I can think of? Oh, listen, my friend, I don't get down on my knees and pray for justice. Well, I'm glad there's some justice in this world. And that's why we have courts and why we have policemen and why we have judges and why we have lawyers and all of these things is to accomplish justice. I don't pray for justice for me. I pray for mercy. Isaiah 55, verse 7. Isaiah 55, 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I tell you what, I've got a gospel that can reach anybody. Anybody that will fear God. Anybody that will hope in his mercy. Anybody that will acknowledge and confess their sin and ask God to forgive them, God will do it. That's amazing. Knowing the wickedness of this world, knowing the wickedness of every individual heart, knowing your selfishness and your pride and your stupidity, and those are bad combinations. And yet I've got a God who says, if you'll confess it, if you'll forsake it. My friend, if you feared God, you'd do it. And if you knew God, you'd fear Him. The reason why you sit here with no fear on your heart, you don't know God.
That's right.
You don't know His character. You don't know how straight He is. How right He is. How strong He is. You don't know how little you really are. And how great a thing is that God would look upon you in mercy. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, for he will have mercy. He'll forgive. That's how I got saved. If you're saved, that's how you got saved. My Christian friend, maybe you wandered a little bit away from God. Maybe you've been forgetting that He sees everything and knows everything. That He's with you every moment of every day. That nothing is hidden from His eyes. Why don't you seek His face today? Why don't you ask Him to forgive your sins? Why don't you confess them outright, up front, all the way? Not to me. I don't want to hear them. To God. Ask Him for forgiveness. It's said here, those get mercy that hope in His mercy. That's my hope. I hope it's your hope. If you're today without Jesus Christ, He'll save your soul. He'll change your life.
Amen.
Today could be the change of your entire life. You could walk out of this room today, a child of heaven, born again, to live with God for all eternity, with a changed life, with a new master over your soul.
Amen.
I invite you to do it. If you're a Christian friend, why don't you just turn it over to the Lord? Some of you have been walking stubborn, stiff-necked, hard-headed, on in your own way. Why don't you just turn it over to the Lord? We're going to sing number 249 in your hymnal. This altar is open, Christian or lost, whoever you may be. If God has spoken to your heart, do what God has laid upon your heart. This altar's open. Sing it out.